Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Podcart, and first in a kind of new series of guests coming in on the podcast and talking to me, and hopefully being quite happy about that fact, but we'll see. Today I am honoured, slightly overwhelmed, and probably going to be quite emotional by the end of this, because I have Catherine Joyce.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And so for anyone, I find this quite hard to believe, but if anyone doesn't know who you are, you're a singer-songwriter. Mm. Is that how you like to be described?
Yeah, or? I think that sounds really nice. Yeah. I still feel like, really?
Yeah.
I'm not really one.
No, but you are.
Apparently I am supposed to be.
You won an award.
Yeah, apparently, yeah, that you're supposed to have been doing that to win that. Yeah.
What was your first musical memory? Ooh.
I think climbing on top of the piano to get oranges.
And did you hit a key or something?
No, that was more just like being aware of a piano and like actual, yeah, that's odd. I've never thought about this before. What is my first musical memory? Oh, I do know. Though I can't remember it, but I've been told it was Jolene by Dolly Parton. As a two-year-old, I would dance to Jolene obsessively if it came on the radio. Yeah.
That is admirable.
I'm pretty
proud
of my two-year-old self. Yeah. So, and then hadn't heard that song for a long, long, long time. And then when I heard it again, I was like, oh yeah, that guitar, man. No wonder. It's just so perfect. It's a perfect song.
And
should be on my list. What was I thinking?
I know. I've asked you to select tracks that you love. And obviously it was a very hard task, but you've managed.
It was hell. I was crying for days. Days.
And so when did you first start playing piano?
When I was about 10, maybe. And I remember being very excited at the thought of that. I might like waiting in for my dad to come and tell me if I was going to get piano lessons or not. And then it turned into being the worst part of my life. I absolutely hated it. My teacher didn't like me. I was very uncomfortable. And she made me really nervous, and I dreaded it every single week. I hated it.
And was that because you were going through more of a kind of classical route, or was it just the being kind of forced to do something?
Yeah, definitely the you have to do this element. But I, because I vividly remember the excitement of it, it was more that that had been the just her personality type and the way that clash with mine meant that I. It just made it really difficult for me to want to do it or to feel that there was any point in doing it, because it felt like no matter what I did, she would criticise me, and she would eat her dinner off the end of the piano, like, during my lesson. she really disliked me. And it was just and I would watch her with other people as well if I was and she was, you know, I remember watching her with older girls and them being really confident and speaking to her, and I'd be like, wow, they, like, speak to her like she's, like, their friends, you know? And I wasn't that type of human, and so it didn't work. It didn't work.
I used to smoke cigarettes with my piano teacher in my lessons.
That is so much sexier.
She was so cool.
That is so great. Let's turn this around. Let's do your podcast. Come on. Let's turn this around. Your stories are much better.
No, they're not.
Wow. That's amazing.
It made me quite happy.
How long did you do it for?
8 to 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. But we'll talk about that after. Oh. This is not about me. So, you have picked tracks. Now, I am very excited by some of them, bar one.
Okay.
Heartbreaking. Yeah.
Already.
And you're probably going to be heartbroken by which one.
Oh my God, I can't believe it.
Glen Campbell. Wichita Line Man.
Yes.
When did this come into your life?
Are you about to tell me that you don't love the song?
No, I love
this
song.
Okay, okay. Okay, that's fine then. this came into my life. Wow. I'm the worst person to do this memory thing, because I can't remember anything and I have no concept of what year I did anything in or really of any part of my life, so I'm going to be your worst first podcast ever. When did I first hear this song? A long time ago.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire, I can hear you through the whine. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want
and I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time, and the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
Have been on a compilation. It would have been on a tape and on a compilation. And the generation of tape buyers, I'm not sure.
No, I am. It. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I love
was an
that people think that I'm
buyer.
Younger than what I am. But
it's because you look younger than you are. Yeah, and so, yeah, and it was just that is the line that everyone was that they want you more than need you and I want you for all time. It's just like, and just the feeling of it, it's just like, I want him to love me. Why doesn't he love me? I would love him back the way he needs to be loved.
Do you think this has influenced relationships that you've had?
Yes. I'm still searching for my Glen Campbell. But I know he's out there. And I will find him.
And do you introduce these songs to your family as well?
Do you
pass them down?
I think you can't help do that, I think, but because of that, you're playing them or you're listening to them. Definitely, my sister takes a lot of credit for her music taste, but I feel very much like she will move on, but like she claims a later, more handsome gentleman.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, so yeah, definitely that definitely happens.
Have you got one child?
One child.
And do you pass on? Do you introduce?
Definitely, but also it works the other way. Whereas I am now also obsessed with things because she was obsessed with them first. So. But yeah, she's quite. I mean, that like it's really you want them to like the stuff that you know is good, but you also have to listen to a lot of Disney before you can get to that stage.
Oh my god, but Disney is great.
Me too. I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm really not complaining because we have this thing where there's like certain ones that are both of our favorites, and then we have like a little moment where we look at each other when it comes on. And it's just like so ridiculous. And she's like, "Mommy, why are you crying again?" It's like it's because. Whole new world is really, really emotional. Okay, that's why.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
And so when did you seriously start, writing songs?
I think when I was, being about 18 when I wrote my first song, or having a conscious thought of I want to do this, I want to be able to do this, and then. My 20s were my first gig, proper gigs were my 20s, so that sort of time.
And was this up in Aberdeen?
Yeah.
And what was it like playing in Aberdeen? Was it quite difficult? Was it challenging?
Yes. It's. I mean, the nights, it was an open mic night that a friend of mine that we sort of got involved with, and those were beautiful. You know, it didn't matter what town you were in, that was like... amazing things. I remember one guy walking in one night and just sat this really beautiful tall black guy, and he walked in and sat down at the piano and played Christopher Lady in Red, and it was amazing, and then he just got up and left, and that we never saw him again. And it was just like things like that happened every month. It was just like, this is weird but beautiful.
Maybe he does that around the world.
I really hope that he does.
That would be incredible.
Please let him do that. But and Aberdeen, I have a tricky relationship with growing up in Aberdeen, and music in Aberdeen I think is hard going. But there are so many, you know, beautiful music fans there as well, you know. But it's just, for moving to Glasgow and going to gigs in Glasgow, I was like, oh, people stay quiet.
Yeah.
People, you know, have paid to get in and realise that other people have also done that. And so therefore they don't talk through it. And that, it felt, has always felt like Aberdeen was not very good at that.
It's it's a hard graft up in Aberdeen.
Yeah.
And it's it's a kind of a different life in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, I've just always had this feeling, even like growing up outside it, and not because I wasn't like, you know, my accent wasn't very Aberdonian, so it's just, wherever you go, it's always going to be that, you know, you're not the same as the local thing, no matter, you know, we grew up our whole lives, you grew up there. And so that feeling that anything that is slightly not what everyone else is doing, Aberdeen does not embrace that. You know, it's, you're very much made to feel that it's weird what you're doing, and it's it is. It was really, I found it really difficult to not mind. You know, to like not be affected by that. But at the same time, it makes you.
It makes you stronger.
It does. It does make you like, you get to a point where you're like, ah, well, you
go fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Time takes care of the wound, so I can believe you had so much to give. You thought I couldn't see gifts for boot heels to crush, promises deceived. I had to send it away to bring us back. Your eyes and body bright and silent waters deep. Your precious daughter in the other room asleep. A kiss goodnight from every stranger that I meet. I had to send it away to bring us back. Pretender left ungrateful. True self is what brought you here to me, a place where we can accept this love. Friendship battered down by useless history, unexamined failure. What am I still to you? Some thief who stole from you, or some chances were few. Love brings us to who we need, a place where we can save, a heart that beats as both siphon and reservoir.
Jeff Buckley, Morning Theft, and it does certain things to the soul And the loins.
The loins. Our loins. We've just listened to our loins. God, our loins.
When I'm doing this memory thing again, when did Buckley come along?
Buckley, okay, the way that I remember is, which boy was I with? Which boy gave me this CD? Did everyone do that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's my only gauge. Or girl. Just to keep it. Or absolutely. Or, yeah. Or indiscriminate genitalia, absolutely. So I was 20-something. Still very vague because, you know, but 20, maybe 4 or 5. And I had never heard of him, and it was Grace, obviously, was the record that I was like, and so when? So he was already dead. When did he die? How many years ago did he die?
It's, oh my God, it must be over, is it over 20?
It must be.
I don't know.
It's horrible. And yeah, and it was just like, oh my Lord. And then when this record came out, I felt really weird about this, like the whole idea of something being released after you're dead and you haven't, like, and how perfect a record Grace was, and how obviously the control of that and of making sure everything is perfect that he must have been. I wasn't very comfortable with that being taken out, even by his family, you know. It was just like, I just think it's something that you have no right to do in a way, except that we now get to hear these beautiful songs, and that I just think the words, like the rhythm of it is just, and the feeling of it, like that feeling of loving someone like that, and is just, it's perfect. It's perfect.
And so through your music discovery of growing up and things, you know, people go through the grunge phase, the Britpop phase, all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. What did you go through?
I don't know. I wasn't very good at being a teenager. I was like, I was probably hippie-ish more.
Yeah.
Like, I DMs, like, all the time. Like, so that my toe actually wore through them. And that's not normal. That's not a normal toe. But it would actually go right through any pair of boots I owned, because I just wore them all the time. And creepy dresses. I was really into creepy dresses. And so, and music-wise, it was like, yeah, so I remember being Sundays, like finding the Sundays was like a toll. I was in school then, I found it in the library, it was on those cassette racks, and you don't know what it is, you know, it had seashells on it, and it was because it said reading and arithmetic on it. I was like, is this some kind of educational tape? It was educational. It was like me standing in my bedroom going, I want to do this. And just her voice, how unusual it was then, and like perfect songs, and so that kind of thing, like just, and yeah, my mum had a Kyle King record that I was obsessed with, so like, yeah, odd. I'm not really good at remembering what I liked.
Maybe that's a good thing, though.
I don't know.
Do you feel that you're really starting to kind of live your life maybe a bit more now?
Definitely. Like, this is the first part of my life where I feel like, oh, I'm actually doing it now. I'm not imagining or acting it out in my head. It's like I'm actually in it.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's partly to do with having a kid. I think you don't have the luxury of imagining, you know, anymore. Now you're actually functioning.
Yeah.
But definitely because of suddenly getting to do it as a job, it's like, it's amazing, you know. And you're and even, like I was saying to the other day, it's like, tomorrow I'm meeting James from the Twilight Sad to practice our songs, and then the day after that I'm going down to do a radio program with Aaron Hubbert. That's my actual life, by the way. You know, it's like completely insane for me. Like, these are, and these people are like, I basically like, they're like, I feel like they're my friends, and I'm having hysterical laughter the entire time in their company. And it's just like, it's so weird. And like, for my baby's dad, who was obviously with him before any of it happened, he's like, that is really weird. It's like, for him it's so weird because he was there at the beginning when I was just like doing nothing, you know, like just and feeling so unable to do anything, you know, or to, so.
No, it's well overdue.
Understand. it's not that hard. It is not that hard.
picked one of my all-time favourite artists, Low. And this was a struggle to pick what song.
Yeah.
Because it was between this, Pissing, and Murderer.
Yes.
Why this one? Why Two Steps?
Because it was the first one that of theirs that I heard and that affected me the most. And it's still a song that I listen to a lot and think of as a perfect thing, a perfectly made thing.
Say Lo got in contact with Claire, your management, and said, we'd like Catherine Joseph to come on tour with us. Would that be one of the highlights of your entire life?
Yes,
apart
I would
from
like
your
to,
daughter.
And yeah, well, I'm not even thinking about my child. I want to die immediately after that, if that ever happens.
Okay. So we're putting that out there.
Yeah, okay. I am willing to die for that to happen.
Wow. Okay. Speaking of management, Claire, and hits the fan.
Yeah.
So how did that come about? How did you guys hook up?
I moved to Glasgow and into my best friend's house, and they were my neighbours.
Wow.
I know. It's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
I am like the luckiest woman in the world.
So how did they come to hear your music?
Because they're friends, very tender friends, so they were around in the house a lot. I think I actually played in the house the first time, but I think it was on the toy piano. I think there was some reason why we couldn't. I can't remember the reason. Anyway, and then they came to a gig, and it was that weird thing where I've always felt like Max and Claire. I was always a bit like, they're amazing. I want to be friends with them. You know, it's like they're the kind of people that you're just like, Claire is just a human that I loved instantly. And Marcus, I felt like a wee bit like I wanted to fight him when I first met him.
Yeah.
I really liked him. It was just that kind of like, I want to fight you, but you're great.
He challenges you.
He loves to challenge.
And I think that's quite a quality that I've kind of come to love about him.
Yeah.
But at first you're just like, I don't know if you hate me or if you are just... Yeah. But he doesn't just take things on face value, does he?
No.
He seems to question things quite
everything,
a lot.
Everything, everything. And it's very... It's done very inside himself, like his whole... And, he's just someone that you can absolutely trust the judgment of, you know? Like when you're in a working situation with him, there's just no excess ego or difficulty. It's like all that matters is what he's doing and what he's thinking about, and that happens to be someone else's music. You know, he's amazing. I am so lucky to get to work with him.
Yeah, you know, and Claire, she's such an incredibly strong woman.
Yeah, and like 10 years younger than me. You know, it's just like, how can you be that good at life?
Shit.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm ashamed. I have like one child and I'm like wandering about my house crying, and she's like done about 5 million jobs, and she has 2 boys, you know? Mine's a girl, she just goes and colours in. That's all I have to deal with. Boys don't do that. And she's still doing a million things and doing them beautifully as well, you know?
But I think you give yourself a rough ride because the output that you've had, I mean, so you've won the Scottish Album of the Year award, which was if we couldn't put bets on beforehand, which pissed off a lot of people because I wanted to make some money from that. I'm going to be honest. And we all called it from the start.
No, you didn't.
We did.
Really?
Ask everyone. Everyone knew. Everyone. And
I can't. Well, Claire was like, we are not going to win.
Really?
Like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. And Marcus and I were both like, you're supposed to be the only person that thinks we might. But she was like, no. Okay.
That's a good thing.
I know, she's amazing. And now she's like, oh, well. You know, maybe because we thought we weren't, we did. You know, it's just such... Honestly, there wasn't a moment where we thought... Like, just even being on the long list was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, it was just amazing.
It was incredible. And you're a very emotional person.
Yes.
Which I love because I relate to it a lot. But your voice is unbelievable. It's I was saying this to you, and you get very embarrassed,
so
but I don't care.
I'm so sorry.
Don't apologise. it's so identifiable, and you pour so much emotion and I suppose your life essentially goes into your music.
Mm.
You've been through some really difficult things, and is this been a kind of catharsis?
Definitely doing it. I think writing has always been that.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel pretty lucky, you know, compared to a lot of other people's lives. I mean, I think things have been made into, you know, it's like almost like the headline of my life is a bit more upsetting than the actual reality. I felt like no matter what, I was luckier than other people, you know, and so, but definitely how I deal with anything that has upset me or that has been difficult is turn that into something that then makes sense and makes me able to make sense of it, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like it's just something about that I feel about with kids, you know, it's like that, please let them learn instruments because this is what they will need this in life, that will need a way to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know?
I totally agree. Totally.
One day I know we'll find a place of hope. Just hold on to me. Just hold on to me.
Jealous of PJ.
Yeah, I'm really jealous of her. Thanks, Leah.
But I was saying to you, no, I feel that you are in the same league as her.
Yeah, and I was shrieking like a lot of fuck you at that point. Yeah, no, I am nowhere near her. Or yeah, it's just, but yeah, when White Chalk came out, I was really, really jealous. Yes, because it looked and everything and sounded exactly like what I would have liked to have grown up to be, and I was already grown, so it was too late. But yeah, it is. She affects me very, very strongly in that way.
But then that's in the same way that you affect quite a lot of people.
I don't feel like that or have any.
But exactly, you don't see that, but it's. I am telling you that it happens, and it is like, you know, it's that way that people relate to. You know, they adapt it to their own lives, and they seek comfort in other people's music and things like that. So you, when the last record, when did you finish writing that record?
The last song on it was, the words for that were written the day I recorded it, but other songs on it had been written 10 years before that.
Wow.
So yeah. I just knew that I really wanted that. That was the only one I'd written since I'd moved to Glasgow. And it'd been like a constant. It took ages, but I was playing it all the time. And I was like, I really want it on. Mark's like, well, you need to finish it because we're recording it today. It's like, okay.
And did Marcus record
the
album? Yeah. And what was the... how long did the recording process take for that?
2 days.
Wow, that's incredible.
It was ridiculous. And I was pregnant, so I went into labour 2 days later.
Shit.
And I actually, on the second day of recording, I was really, really sweating. And I was like, God, what's wrong with me? And I think that was early stages. I think I was actually in labour at that point.
So that makes it a bit special as well, though.
Yeah, I love it. I love that she was like, he was in my tummy when I was like, it's so weird, you know. But she also used to cry every single time I played the piano when she was out. So I think that she was like... hearing it over and over again, it's just like, man, let me out here. But but it is, it's lovely for me now, you know. And now she listens to it, and she's really like, she sings the piano bit on The Crow, like she'll sing that over and over, and it's just really odd. This, but she also thought that it was called The Groke from the Moomin, so she's like calling, please put on The Groke again. It's like, she's so disappointed. And also it's the one that's got, you know, the swears in it. It's like, why didn't think about the swears before? And then I had the children and
there's
so foul-mouthed. I know.
What was it, in terms of your live shows, has there been a turning point for you that you thought, oh my God, people actually are digging what I am doing? And did you feel like, actually, on top of that, has there been a show that you've felt too emotional to, or kind of, you've had a hiccup because you thought, I'm going to cry now because people are loving this?
Because I'm in a weird sort of in my own world at that point, I don't really know. I nearly cried during a show that was odd because I could feel like half the people were loving it, but I could feel that like half the people really weren't, and that was making it feel really, really odd. And I nearly cried at two of the songs because it was just such an odd feeling, because I'm so aware of the feeling in the room, like that's... So it's more just, I can't believe how lovely the humans feel. That's how I feel most of the time. It doesn't upset me. It doesn't overwhelm me in that way. It's just like a really, like, just make everything better. You know, and that's what playing live for me does. It's like, it's like that, that's like, this is the only time where I feel like that things make sense. But yeah, I mean, I think I'll never really think, but everyone likes it, you know. But turning up to gigs and it being full is weird, you know. Like, I'm still like, what? There's people here already, you know. It's just really strange. And the last the Macintosh Church gig that we did with Gatling Engines, that was a weird one because I felt like I barely know any of you. Like, a lot of my friends couldn't come for different reasons or weren't there, but it was sold out. And that to me was, and everyone was sober, you know. It was like, ooh, apart from Marcus and I. So God knows how that felt for everyone else, but yeah, we enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that is, and then I felt like that when we did a gig in Aberdeen as well. Again, and that's, you know, Aberdeen where I'm from, and still it felt like the majority of people that I can see, I'm not recognising. And it's a really that's very strange and very lovely, but just mm-hmm. and two guys had came up and said that they'd come up from Manchester on especially, and I was like, what? But just, it's just so kind. But I find it so difficult to think about it as something that it's not just my friends,
yeah.
you know, or people that I've made friends with while doing it. You know, I just find that really odd that people without any connection to me are listening to it and want to see it. You know, it's does that, that sounds mental.
No, it sounds humble.
It doesn't feel humble. It just feels like damage. It just feels like I am unable to understand what. It just doesn't feel...
I can understand that, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, totally. And I think a lot of people can understand that, though, when you've been kind of thrust into a certain position and it's like, oh my... I think for years of doubting yourself...
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're doing something that people really like and they're giving you praise, it's just that total contradiction. And it's
yeah.
it's like you feel that you don't deserve it.
Totally. And then you've told yourself
yeah.
something in your brain for years and years that it's not,
yeah.
it doesn't matter and it won't matter.
Yeah.
And then, and when it's, especially when it's music, when you're so used to being a fan, you know, you're the person who's watching people or watching your friends do it or people that you don't know and being so overwhelmed by it, how affected by that. It's just so difficult to then... put yourself in that, like, to, you know, that the people would feel like that about me. That just is so odd. It's so odd.
It's, I don't think it is odd. I think it's very relatable.
Shoulder check.
infiltrate Podcart with Taylor Swift.
I didn't realise it's going to be such an issue. I'm still reeling.
But the reason behind it is acceptable because obviously it's your daughter.
Yes.
Are we allowed to say what your daughter's name is?
Yeah, she's called Eve.
Okay.
Yeah. She really, really. They all do. Like, they all have children. Taylor Swift. It's the same way that Michael Jackson for my sister generation and now Taylor Swift is. And so she sings the bit in Shake It Off, the rap bit. So like, and it's like you're such a bad mother that you find it really cute when your child says, "Oh my God," and it's just that's wrong. That's wrong, but it's so cute. But so this record is on in my car every day, but mostly when she's not there. Now it's become something that I'm like, this is mine. This is my special time. I'm listening to this song over and over again. This and Style. I go between Style and this, and then I put it off. I've been crying.
Have you always had that kind of guilty pleasure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely.
What have been some of your others?
Will I even be able to remember? What are my other guilty pleasures? The Footloose soundtrack.
Oh yes.
God, it's so good.
Beautiful.
Kenny Loggins.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, I really love it. I've bought that twice on vinyl. I mean, Madonna, is that a really guilty pleasure anymore?
I think it is.
I felt like it was when I performed it at the TYCI night, extremely drunk and with a Scottish accent.
I didn't witness that, but I heard amazing things. This is the karaoke night.
Yeah, that was possibly the most disgusting thing I've ever done. Yeah.
I think her stuff now is guilty, but I think back then it was...
The classics are allowed, yeah. Nothing else is coming to... I remember being... My sister, I had written down the words to... Is it a heart song? These dreams go on, that one. I love that song.
See, that's amazing as well.
And my sister found, though, I'd tried to write them, you'd write them down off the radio, and she found them and thought that I was having some kind of, like, suicidal... moment. It's like, no, they're just words of like, songs, okay? Fine. and Disney. Also, when Beauty and the Beast would come on the radio, I'd know I was going to have a good day.
Yeah, but it's that's... like,
But yeah.
So
it's nothing guilty pleasure in your life. That's what we were saying. It's like, all of those are like, yeah, that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. No.
Maybe it's an age thing.
What are your guilty pleasures, Lee?
Lionel Richie. Dancing on a Ceiling.
Oh my God, yes. Except I'm All Night Long. That's my... over and over.
I don't know. I don't think... Is Pat Benatar a guilty pleasure?
No, that's cool as fuck. Yeah. Yeah. No, but it's still great.
One. There's a new artist called Halsey.
Oh, I've not known.
Oh my God, she does a song "Colors," and the video makes me feel almost turns me on. It's totally
I'm going home
bizarre.
To listen to that song right
but
now.
But it's about this this young girl. She's got a boyfriend, but she's in love with the boyfriend's dad, right?
God.
But it's such a good video, and it gets to the end, and you're like, yes, I love the dad too. So it's so good.
Amazing.
So back to you.
Yeah.
You've got a show coming up at Platform.
Yeah.
With James from Twilight Sad.
Yes.
So I mean, when we read that, it was just like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to this because I am just going to embarrass myself. I'd just be sobbing because James is his voice.
I know.
It's
imagine how I feel when that voice like sings along with your voice. Imagine how many times I've nearly been crying in rehearsals, and also having like an out of body experience of this is ridiculous that I get to do this.
Are you allowed to tell us what songs you're going to be doing? Are they your own songs or
they're all written new?
Wow.
Yeah. That is the point of it. It's basically like the Platform. It's Easter House Conversations. So you basically meet beautiful people who live in the area or part of Platform. You chat to them, and then James and I look at each other and go, "How are we going to do this?" And then there's a lot of fear. And then luckily, Marcus just starts writing them, and then we go, "Oh, that's great." Then James just like does a song straight away, and then does another one straight away, and. Sends me the lyrics and I cry because I've written two words and scored them both out, and he's like sent me three whole songs and they're beautiful. And so it's just like going into rehearsals like can't believe I get to do this.
And is there a plan to record them?
Yeah,
there and is. Are you going to release them?
We would like to.
Oh my god, you
but
have
only
to.
If people like them. I mean, it might be we do this gig and it's like, actually,
I think
you've ruined those Twilight Sad songs. With it. You know, it's like I'm like pretending I'm Twilight Sad. It's just like,
but it's probably a real honour for him as well, though.
No, he's just such a beautiful guy. You know,
he's
I didn't
so
know him at all
earth,
before doing this. He's brilliant, and it was a really nice way to like. For, we're both quite similar in that kind of like, oh, I'm not good, and then other people going, oh, yes, you are, and we're like, no, we're not. How are we going to do this? So and because we were in an uncomfortable situation for us, like meeting people and chatting, we were both feeling like a bit. It was really a great way to be comfy with someone, you know, and both be afraid of things at the same time, you know. It was good. It was really good.
That's amazing.
So, yeah,
and what about your next? Is there have you penned the next album?
Last week I had my how many songs do I sort of have that I would want to maybe make into another record, and it was like, oh, I've got 10. And it was just a weird, like, and some of them are not finished, some of them are like have been like in my head for a while, but like the words aren't done, or but like just that feeling of there are 10 that make sense together again is really comforting for me.
My dreams, several expendable limbs were at stake. You were a prince spinning rims, all sentiments in. I was brought in on a palanquin made of the many bodies of beautiful women brought to this place to be examined, swaying on an elephant, a princess of. We both want the very same thing. We are praying. I am the one to save you, but you don't even own your own violence. Run away from home, your beard is still with the loneliness of you mighty men, with your jaws and fists and guitars and pens and your sugar lips. But I've never been to the fire pits with you mighty.
Hurt, you're a silly goose, you are caged.
take to walking. What a woman does is open doors, and it is not a question of locking or unlocking. I have never seen such a terrible room, gilded with the dirty of the women who love you, and who are dying like pirates of the queen. By any other name, a
Newsom, has she been a significant influence?
Not influence, because I think I pretty much written most of those songs before I heard her, which
That's
is really
good.
Odd. Yeah. So someone sent me a tape of her, and also I'm about her, I could be her mother.
I was going to say,
it's like, I could be her mother.
I wasn't going to say you could be
her
mother.
You could be her mother. Let's just face it.
Actually, if I did say that,
I'll see in your eyes.
But you, yeah.
She's, I mean, I when I first heard her, I was like, and someone sent, gave me a tape and said, she reminds me of you. And I was like, no, she does not. You know, it really freaked me out that I might sound like that, because I really don't, I didn't hear it at all. And I didn't, it took me a long time to get into her. And then I fell deeply, deeply in love. And, yeah, it's just, yeah, she's just, it's ridiculous how beautiful she is and what she does is. So jealous. Look at her young skin and hair. Why are you torturing me with this picture of her, Lena?
What have you got coming up now? What's the next steps? What's happening?
So James, gigs with beautiful hubby. So
yeah.
Herbert, he's doing his album launch gigs on the 29th.
Yeah.
Of April. In Glasgow, and then the 1st of May in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's lovely. That's like something to, because I'm, and that was really, I think, really good for me to do, because that's the first time that I'd collaborated with anyone.
Right,
and it
okay.
Was,
God.
Yeah, and in my brain, I will not be able to do that. You know, that's how I've always felt. So, and it was a nightmare. We were speaking about it on the radio, I was like, I took the longest, didn't I? I took the longest. Just tell me, okay? I know I did. I find it really, really difficult. But now, like, the fact that I managed, that's the thing. What has been the most amazing for me is, like, everything that I have thought I'm not gonna be able to do this, I've managed.
Yeah.
You know, like, and the feeling that gives me,
yeah,
is just. And I avoided. I never did the things in my life that I thought I couldn't do. That was the main thing that, you know. So it's just really. It's just, it does. And then that meant that the thought of writing with James was like, okay, I might be able to, even though I react immediately like, you know, so yeah, so it's great, and it also makes you able to love something more because it's only half of you in it. You know, it's like hubby, just like what he does is just so beautiful, and then you're trying to like be part of that. You know that it's really difficult to then be negative about it because what you're doing is still listening to his song. You know, for me, all I did was like just sing the notes he'd already written. You know, and put some creepy words to it, you know, and so it's just so nice to be able to like to feel proud of something else. It's really nice.
And I have to say, you've got a very strong group of friends, particularly in Glasgow as well. I mean, you've got Amanda and Sarah, who I've got a confession. So we were sat at the same table at their wedding at our friends Amanda and
were
Sarah.
Were you at the same table that day?
So we were all at the same. So TYCI,
yes.
Yourself, and I can't remember who else was at the table.
It was Gareth and Celine.
That's right. And so I remember when your record Amanda was going on and on and on about, you know, and I was like, right, I'm going to sit down today. It's time, because I hate people telling me to do stuff. I'm like, I'll do it when I'm ready.
Yeah, exactly.
So I sat down and I burst into tears a number of times, and I was like, oh, I listen to Catherine Joseph. She's amazing. And we started talking, and Amanda's like, you do know you were at the same table as her at our wedding? And I went, oh my fucking God. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I was so, I didn't know who anyone was at that point. And I even said to Laura, because Lauren was there as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, are you Amanda's sister? Cause I, and she's like, no, but like, yes, in spirit. You know?
Yeah.
But it was like, it was just such an odd, and then it turned out that Gareth, that was the first time that I met him, and he was who Claire gave birth to her first son listening to Gareth's music. So I was freaking out because I'm sitting beside the person that Claire had listened to the most, and like couldn't believe it. I'm like texting her saying, you will never guess, and also my friends are getting married, and it was just like, and I was, and Stacey was on the other side of me.
Stacey Walton,
yeah. It was just, it was such a weird, but yeah, that was a beautiful, beautiful day.
It was crazy.
But yeah, and so, and it was just for me to come in, like how many people I've met through it, like they're all connected.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone that's written, like done an interview with me, I honestly think of them as my friend. It's not like I've ended up knowing these people.
Yeah.
It's not just like, hey, never see you
yeah,
again.
Yeah, like Tom at Goldflake Pink.
Totally.
You've like, really struck a
yeah,
friendship.
Yeah, I absolutely
with him.
Love him. And his girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's like,
it was,
as well.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it was weird because Tom was actually asking me recently, like, when hubby had asked me to do his record with him. And I was like, God, I can't remember. And then remembered, like, weeks later that it was the same day as my sister's niece had a heart operation. And hubby'd phoned me, and so I was like, I'm really sorry, that sounds amazing. But also, this is happening right now, and I'm freaking out. And I didn't know hubby really at all at that point. And then she got through it and was amazing. And then that meant I could go to the like Say Award, and that was like the Say Award shortlist night. And that was the night that I met Tom. Like, and so it was just so weird. He's like, I remember you telling me that story that night.
Was that the night of the free bar in the CCA?
Yes, it was.
Oh my God, we got so steaming that night.
All. And then we drank Baileys and Sleazy's after that.
I didn't go to Sleazy's. Thanks.
Disgusting.
Fuck.
Disgusting.
Fuck. So, music. So you're talking about all these new relationships, and another one has been with you've got to know Bossy Love, who we're going to also play on this podcast, which is, I suppose, brings us to now.
Yeah. Cool. Baby boy got his hair slick, and honestly look like daddy got a few chicks up his sleeve, and now I wanna get it, not once, maybe twice, never said it. I definitely wanna get a little bit naughty, I definitely wanna make an exit with the shorty. I gotta be cool, gotta be calm, gotta be tight, gotta keep myself in check for tonight. Can't dance on the words that I'm about to serve up, shoot straight, too late, I'm about to word up, looking good, looking good. The hate in the game slips up, but I do I know your name. Hey baby, it's not the way you treat me, and it is safe to say we don't explain it how we really want it. We keep it quiet until we think there's something wrong, and I am shying away from what is going on. This conversation between our physicality
And John Bailey Jr. And Oliver does the.
I'm actually getting goosebumps even you just saying their names. That's the stage of in love that we are.
When did you first see them live?
The first time. God, when was the first time?
Was it TYCI maybe?
Must have been. Was it Hug and Pint?
Oh, maybe. They did the headline show at Hug and Pint.
Was Babe supporting them that night?
That was at the Hug and Pint.
I think it was that one.
Right.
And I was already in, like, I'd already fallen deeply in love with Babe as well. And so, like, the fact that they were both was just like, oh, holy moly. Yeah, and she's just, it's just ridiculous how amazing she is, you know? And, like, how beautiful the noise they make, how great their songs are, how everyone in the room is so affected. Like, you cannot not dance to it, you know? You cannot feel better. It's just like everything feels better because of them. It's and she's such a beautiful human as well, you know, and John and Ollie, that just the three of them are just like, and I was reading that the interview that they did for The Skin recently as well,
Tom,
and it's like the fact that like really beautiful humans are like they just it's like there's no, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, it's like there's no sort of ego or like plan to it, it's just this is what they love to do totally, and they are brilliant at it,
So because you go and see so many gigs in the city.
Yeah, which is another thing. I did not used to like going. I did not like used to go. I found my attention span was really, I was really not a good audience member. And I didn't enjoy it. I'm still not very good at big gigs, but it was like something that I didn't do very much.
And who are some of the other artists that you've kind of got to know and love?
well, I mean, I already knew Sarah at HQFU.
Yeah.
I already knew her. So that was, it's so beautiful for me to see her doing something different from what I knew her as, but something that's equally as amazing and just so, like, to feel that proud of your friend, but also it's got nothing to do with the fact that your friends, that you're in love with the noise that they make, you
yeah.
know, it's just, it's so, yeah, it is, it's just so beautiful a time, I think, to be part of it as
yeah.
well. For me, it feels, I mean, I, you know,
it's an exciting time.
Yeah, it just
definitely.
Feels like there's so many things that are beautiful. I mean, Chrissy Barnacle, I also, another,
oh
like,
God.
Woman that I just, like, and I've only seen her live once, but I mean, she's, I adore her. And, but, yeah, she's, like, just ridiculously talented.
I would love you two to do something together.
That's honestly what I, yeah, I should, I can't even believe that we haven't yet. Like, we should be playing.
That would be
shows.
Just a dream for
she's
me.
She's so good. It's like, even like how shit I am at chatting in between, and how she has, like, that as an art form, you know? She's just, and then her voice. It's honestly that, it's like, watch, and she actually could be my daughter. I am the same age as my best friend, and her daughter is 23, and so is Chrissy Barnacle. I could be Chrissy Barnacle's mum. Oh my God, I'd be so proud if that was actually true. But I mean, how insane for me, you know? It's like, or the fact that these women are able to do that at that age. It's like they're so beautiful and strong, and it's just, yeah.
It is
makes
amazing.
Me very happy. Yeah.
But, you know, like we, like I said to you before about you feeling like you're living your life now.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've told me off air how old you are, which was quite hard for me to believe. But,
yeah, 64, I know. That would be great.
That skincare is unbelievable. You genuinely do look like you are having such a good time now, and you're just, when you're at, I see you at these gigs and things, and you can see how engrossed you are in the music. It's so nice.
It is because the music is so great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I am, and it is that kind of, I can't believe that I'm getting to be part of this, you
yeah.
know, or that I get to hear it, and it's so. Man and Moon, that's my other one at the moment. It's just like, holy moly, boys.
I know.
What are you doing? And that's something that I felt like, what didn't seem, people didn't, or, so last year, I kept playing gigs sort of, seemed to be on the same time as them, or just the night before, and I kept seeing them, and they're just such lovely guys as well. And it felt like people hadn't really heard them yet. It was like, what is, why is this, but it feels like that's changing this, and they will be, they're getting heard more, and people realizing how amazing what they're doing is.
And what do you want from the rest of this year?
I definitely feel like my brain has shifted into, right, we're gonna make a new thing.
Yeah,
and I think that will happen. I think we'll start recording it this year. It feels like that now, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and definitely the process of just working with James and Marcus, and how beautiful, like, you know, if it wasn't for Marcus starting that, it would have been really tricky, I think, for me to work out how to do it.
Yeah.
But what he was sending me made me want to write things, and then it's, I think you can definitely tell the songs are different, you know, they're like, he's written quite a lot of them on the harmonium, and I was like, right, I won't be able to learn that, by the way, so I'm playing the bass parts in some of them, and that's just so weird for me, because again, it's like, I know I should learn this, it's only five notes, but my brain doesn't work like that, you know. It's just, so it's hard but
mm-hmm.
exciting as well.
Do you feel that you're at that point yet, that you feel proud of yourself?
I think that I occasionally allow a tiny moment to go, oh, but I think that my personality might never actually do that. I mean,
yeah.
It's still like looking on it as if it's not really you, you know. And like, I know that the facts are mental. Like, I'm writing with the Twilight Sad. I'm on Adam Herbert's record. That is like that. It didn't, you know. It's amazing. So, but there's something in my brain that does not let me go, oh yeah. That's actually what's me.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I do. I am proud. And it's because it's like how much work Claire's done,
yeah,
how much work Marcus has done, like how and how they've done it totally out of love, you know. It's like, yeah, this has been something that we've just like, they were like, you know, like Marcus did me an amazing deal for those recordings in the first place, but he was doing it because he wanted to, you know, and that's what mattered to me in the first place. Like the thought of like going around labels or asking people that I didn't know to, that was always what was going to stop me. But to actually find people that genuinely made me feel like it mattered to them, it's just like, that I'm so lucky.
It's like fate.
It is. It's weird. It's really, really weird, but so, so lovely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for doing this. I love you, Huma. Like, I properly love you. Like a creepy stalker.
And I wish you all the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.